Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It could be a question of who blinks first as Rotherham get us underway, attacking the covered end in the first half. Dupes it to get the short one, he gets it back. Harding now sends it into the box. It's a difficult one, right to the back post. It's buried in there from Miller on his own on the edge of the six-yard box. Charlton expecting the long throw, and there's cries from Charlton that there was an offside in there when all ball went back. The official remains unmoved. Gunter still asking the question to the referee.
I'd like to know what they're asking, because it can't be overturned. You know, there's nothing can be done about this. It's been given. They've not seen anything. Whatever Charlton believe there is, they've not seen anything. We didn't get out quick enough. It was a 2v1 against. We didn't get out quick enough. We didn't give the shout.
Are they saying that ball was off? Because it's a difficult one to tell. It's headed back and Miller was the first one to pounce. And they're saying that Charlton, that the ball was out of play.
No.
Not sure it was, to be honest. It's headed back into the edge of the six-yard box.
That can't be it, Tell. Can't be it. It's got out of play. It's not.
Buries it for Rotherham and a game of fine line. 7.5 minutes of normal time remaining as Lee sends it forward. Washington again on the run. Trying to push Edmunds Green out of the way. He does, and he's on the ball now. Oh, Stockley on the overlap. Takes a shot. He's in! Charlton had the equaliser. Rotherham will complain there was a push on Edmunds Green. But Connor Washington did enough. Got the ball at his feet. Used Stockley as a decoy. The shot took a deflection. Went wide right of Vigors and into the bottom right-hand corner.
Now, they will say there's a push on Edmunds Green, because just as he goes to jump for it, Connor Washington stands still, lets him hit him. And the debate will be, did he give him a nudge or did he just let him hit him? We've seen a replay. It's just a hook on from Elliot Lee. It's an up and under. Centre-half gets caught under it. I'd say it's a very clever use of the body, but I would, because I am a Charlton fan. And we are 1-1. And I will say, the key to all that was the last 5, 6, 7 minutes. And staying in the game when we've been under pressure. We really have been under pressure for the last 4 or 5 minutes. And we've not conceded, we've not wilted, we've stayed in it.
Sends it skyward, and that was the last moment of the game. And Charlton, having gone down behind in cruel circumstances at the end of the first half, battled back superbly, had the lion's share of that second half.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. I hope you are well. We'll be looking back at that draw with high-flying Rotherham during the week, and of course ahead to Saturday's FA Cup first round game with a National League South side, Havant and Waterlooville, on this week's pod. Joining me to do that, first up, a star of Sky TV, Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Yeah, not too bad. Living the dream, mate.
Yeah, nice. on the Sky, well, it wasn't TV, it was a YouTube channel, so like...
Yeah.
Not the main ones.
League of 72 it is, by... James Alcott. It's got good content on there, too.
Yeah, well, obviously, if they look like
you...
Not as
good as this, obviously.
No, obviously, it's not possible. And also joining us is Tom Wallin. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Have you been nominated for an award this week, Tom?
Yeah, I have. Have you?
Yeah, I have as well, Nath.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, no, actually, they said it weren't for you. But, yeah, no, we've been nominated for an award again. We're up for the third year. Out of four, the club podcast of the year with the Football Supporters Association. We're going to find out an awards due, fancy awards due at the end of this month if we're going to win. We've got to win at some point, haven't we? We can't just keep getting nominated and not win. So, fingers crossed, it's our year. But yeah, thanks for everyone for your support that's got us that nomination. And yeah, well, I'm sure you'll see a few drunken pictures of us at an award ceremony at the end of the month. So on this evening's show, then, as I said, we've just heard the goals from the Rotherham game. We're going to discuss that performance shortly. We're going to hear from Jacko, who spoke to him after the match to find out what he made of the performance. Some good news today, of course, Deji Elleroe signing his first professional contract with the club. We're going to hear from Deji later on in the show. Also got some really interesting stuff from Jason Pearce, the captain, spoke to him after the game on Tuesday against Rotherham, asked him for his views on Johnny Jackson and where the change has come, what Jacko's brought different to what Nigel bought at the start of the season. I can promise you that's a really interesting interview. So we're going to hear that later on in the show. Then, of course, we're turning our attention to Cup Fever. We're all come down with a nasty bout of Cup Fever. We're going to hear from Simon Carter from the Portsmouth News, who's going to tell us all about Havant and Waterlooville, who are coming to the Valley on Saturday. I'm sure many of you will have remembered their Cup run that ended in infamous circumstances at Liverpool a few years ago, where they twice had the lead at Anfield, so beware us. We're also going to hear Johnny Jackson look ahead to that game as well. But we should focus on the past first, because we got a really creditable draw, 1-1 draw, with Rotherham on Tuesday. We heard the goals there, Tom, and, you know, high-flying Rotherham, free-scoring Rotherham. And fair to say that we got a point, and we probably could have got more.
Yeah, I was really impressed with us. Obviously, it hadn't been up at Sunderland and missed the home game as well, annoyingly. So, hadn't seen us under Jacko yet. But I was really impressed with the way we set up. I thought we took the game to them. They had a few chances, of course. They were a good side. But I thought largely we restricted them to shots from the edge of the box. And I think that was down to our defensive shape. And obviously got that goal just before half-time, which it wasn't undeserved. But I felt to go in behind seemed a bit harsh. And then second half, for that first 15, 20 minutes, we just really went at them. Got the goal we deserved. Took a while in coming. And yeah, McGilvery made a good save in that second half. But as you said, it's a game that we could have won. And I think when we got our goal, I was happy with a point at that point, and I would have been happy with 1 point going into the game. But definitely we had opportunities to win it. And the momentum continues from the positive results over the past week. And yeah, as I say, first opportunity I had to see them in the flesh, and I'm impressed with what Jacko's doing with the side, and goes another step further to him, you know, staking a claim for getting the job full time.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely mad, isn't it, Nathan, when you think that game came exactly 2 weeks after that debacle against Accrington Stanley at the Valley. Paul Warne came in afterwards, told us he thought it was a good point for them because he sees Charlton as a top six side. And I mean, my analysis after was basically that was a top end of League One clash that we saw there, the only difference being that, well, one of us is accidentally near the relegation zone.
Yeah, I think we gave them a run for their money second half for sure. I said on Tuesday on Twitter that I thought we were the only team who was going to win it. And yeah, I thought, I mean, we all knew they were in a good run of form, but then so were Sunderland when we played them. And I think the good thing is the way it's changed around now. We've played two teams who were in form at that time, in Sunderland and Rotherham, and to be honest, they had a couple of little bit half chances, but we kept, really, the Dapo and Smith, who's firing, kept quite quiet, you know. So I'm with Tom. I thought it was a really pleasing performance, and even though we didn't win the game, it was such a promising performance. It felt a little bit like a win, if that's it sounds weird, but it was just nice to see us having a go, you know, playing well, putting the effort in. Just seemed like we had a plan, or we had a game plan. So, yeah, really positive, and shame, really, we've got the FA Cup. As much as the FA Cup is a great competition and all that jazz, I just think we've got that bit of momentum now, so hopefully we don't lose it after the little break.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the performance itself, as a good marker, Tom, against a side who are, you know, banging form, beat Sunderland 5-1, over the weekend. I mean, it does show that we're now reaching the sort of levels that we should be at, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, this is the sort of performance I would have expected of us from day one, really. And as I say, I wasn't at either of the other games, but I followed the Sunderland game, and I've seen the highlights of the Doncaster game back. And okay, they're different sides. Going away to Sunderland was a tough task. I know Jacko might have felt a little bit like pressure was off because it's his first game, but to go up there and get a win is no mean feat. And yes, Doncaster are a poor side, but you've still got to put them away. And when I watched that back, the amount of chances we created, we could have easily won that 7 or 8-0, and they could have had no complaints. And then you come into Rotherham and you think, as you say, I was at the Accrington game 2 weeks earlier and we were appalling. I was away at Lincoln the weekend before that and we were bad. And the transformation from those games is huge. And I think for me, the one real question we have left now is, can we keep this up? And that's the important thing, because I don't think any of us doubted that these players have that ability. But now they've got Jacko knitting them together. Now they've got the fans behind them and on side. They've just got to keep it up. And I think Jacko won't let them drop off for a minute. Their fitness, despite what Nigel was saying, seems okay, because a lot of those players have played 3 games in 10 days and have looked okay with it. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But as you say, it's the performance I think we expected. And I think if performances did match that level for the rest of the season, I'm still a little bit wary that we can make the top six. I think we've given ourselves certainly a lot of work to do, but we're certainly going to be up in that top half of the table, which is at the very least where we should be, even given our poor start. So, yeah, we've just got to keep it up now, because the hard work isn't finished yet and there's a long way to go.
I mean, obviously, the goal right on the stroke of half-time for the Millers, by Miller, I mean, it seemed to have a bit of controversy around it. And in the stadium at the time, I thought it looked a certain foul throw, but then looking it back on the video, I thought it looked absolutely nothing like a foul throw. So I don't know why my eyes deceived me there, but quite a lot of people seem to feel that. And then some suggestion perhaps the cross had gone out, some suggestion perhaps it hit Richard Wood's hand. But I mean, speaking to both Piercy and Jacko after, they seem to suggest, well, you know, really we should be defending that a bit better. We did seem to fall asleep there. That was slightly disappointing, Nath, right on the stroke of half time from a cross.
Yeah, disappointing in the bread and butter with dealing with crosses in the box, because I mean, up until that point and even in the games preceding it, I think we defended the box really well and defended our crosses, which have sometimes at part of the season has been our, you know, been my downfall. I mean, I was the same at the time. I was obviously, I probably had my rose tinted glasses on, but I thought it was a foul throw and I thought it was handball. But foul throw, yeah, it just looked, I think it was just the way how he ended. I thought it, at the time, I thought it was a foul throw, and I don't know about the handball. I still think, well, he's had it onto his arm, but then he can't really chop his arm off, can he, unfortunately, Richard Wood.
If he had any respect for the rules, he would.
That's what I mean. So but yeah, so it's disappointing really, because they did put themselves about a little bit more, but yeah, disappointing. At half time, it just changes just Jacko's team talk. But that being said, I mean, the second half performance certainly made up for it. But yeah, so again, they're a good team. They're all round team. I mean, overall point, you ain't going to grumble at that, because I probably would have taken that, you know. But 3 weeks ago, before Nigel, if you said, oh, you're going to beat Sunderland and then smash Donny and then, you know, get a good draw against Rotherham, I probably would have laughed, you know. I'd have been carrying on walking till the cows come home. That's not right, Nath, is it?
Yeah. Well, at least you would have got out your broken chair. But, Tom, the equaliser obviously came from Connor Washington. Connor Washington, I mean, his interview after on Charlton TV was interested. He spoke about how it was very much the life of a striker distilled into one game, because he missed a couple of chances. But you always know what you're going to get with Connor in terms of hard work, and his perseverance paid off, and, you know, really out-muscled the defender and got a little bit of luck perhaps with the finish. But the sort of luck you deserve when you run your knackers off like Connor Washington does every match.
Yeah, totally agree. And I sung his praises all last season. I know he had periods out with injury, and I know his goal record wasn't, you know, it wasn't 20 goals a season. But for me, he was one of our standout players last year. I think it was harsh that he got dropped this year, and I think I've been pretty consistent since the first game of the season by saying Adkins needed to change it up, and the one game that he did, we saw what Washington was capable of. Even that Accrington game when he came on, you know, chased down that ball right down to the byline and set Stockley up late on. So, yeah, he's a player that I really admire. I think he's got, you know, that work rate and that desire that we expect from a Charlton team, because, you know, we don't expect them to be, you know, the Lionel Messis or the Johnny Williams of this world, but we expect them to work hard, and that's what he does, and he epitomises that. So, yeah, I think, you know, he deserves the success, he deserves the goals, and we just look so much more balanced with the two of them up front, because Stockley, so less isolated, it means we can play to his feet, it means he's got a player around him, and the whole balance of the team just looks so much better. So, yeah, I was delighted for him, and again, with him, just like the team, really. Hope he can kick on and keep that form up, because as you say, his head could have gone down after missing a couple of chances, but it just didn't. So yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, now the referee, of course, was dishing out yellow cards like it was Christmas. Apart from at the point he should have done, obviously Ahikwe already been booked for a challenge. Then trips, I think it was Alex Gilby, wasn't it? And somehow escapes a booking to the extent that within a minute, Paul Warren had taken him off. I mean, it was a fascinating refereeing display, wasn't it, Nave?
Frothing, mate. When that happened, I was frothing at the mouth, because I knew as soon as he got away with it, that they were going to take him off. It was always going to happen. And the thing that winds me up, right? So, like, I would say that second foul was more of a yellow than the first. So, but I don't, and they're both yellow cards. And it's things like that that really irritate me, because it's like, well, how can you just not give that as a yellow card? Because if he wasn't booked, 100% he would have got a yellow card for that, which makes a mockery of the whole thing. But I mean, the ref, oh mate, yeah.
I thought the ref was absolutely gash, wasn't he?
Oh, he was pony, like absolute codswallop. Do you know what I mean? I'm just coming up with some random words. But no, mate, he was shocking. Even that, like the first minute, or what, the first early in stages when Jaden gets booked, he's like got to, you know, tread a tightrope for the rest of the match. You know what I mean? It takes the edge off the game. But it just wasn't the consistency. So
yeah,
100% a second yellow.
Yeah.
And then and the thing is at that point in time, if they had 10 men, yeah, it's hard to play against 10. But you could have bring Kirk on and just go, mate, just do what you want to do. Just go free will or free roll. Do what you got to do. Do you know what I mean? It's game changer. But anyway, we're used to these refs.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let that ref take away the performance, because we were brilliant without
Certainly.
Brilliant without the ref.
One more player actually I want to mention, Alex Gilby. I obviously mentioned him there. He fouled for that. I think we're seeing a lot from Alex in terms of running. I think he had the most touches out of everyone on the side on Tuesday evening. And I don't know if I think he goes under the radar or not. But I thought he was really busy on Tuesday evening, Tom.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean about that. I think he's starting to get on people's radar. I saw him when we played Swindon at the League Cup. I think it was before the season had started in the first round last year. And he came on towards the back end of that game and looked really good. You know, was carrying the ball, was driving forwards. And then he got that injury and we didn't see a lot of him. And then when he did come back, I never thought he was quite the player that we thought we'd signed last year. And whether that was the injury, whether that he was just out of position, I'm not sure what it was. And this year, obviously, that midfield, particularly under Adkins, has rotated so much. I don't really feel he's had a chance to play his way in. But now, in the position he's in that midfield, I don't even know how many we would say that midfield has in it, but the way they're set up, I think, is ideal for him. And, you know, he's got that licence to carry the ball, but he also does the dirty work, and he does a little bit of everything in there. So, yeah, I think we're seeing him in his best position. He's getting forward, he's having shots, he's having a go. And yeah, he's, as I say, more of the player that I thought we'd signed and we saw right at the early stages of last season. So, yeah, another one that's impressive, because I think we've probably said this on most of the shows this season, that midfield just has never really clicked, whoever we've had in there, and people have come and gone and it's not really worked. But obviously, that's the first time I've seen Dobson in the flesh for a while. I thought he looked brilliant. As you said, Gilby, I think, slots in there well. I feel like they're just knitting together, and that sort of that group and the cohort as a team are just looking a lot better now. So, yeah, another one that's just gone from strength to strength under Jackson already.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear from the boss himself then. Johnny Jackson came in to speak to us after the draw with Rotherham, and I asked him what he made of the performance.
It was a good game. Two good teams going at it, trying to play for the win. Rotherham are a good side, know all about them, knew what dangers that they would pose, and I don't think they disappointed in any way in their play. Obviously, they got their goal on the stroke of half-time, disappointed with the nature of that. I didn't feel like we deserved to be one down at that stage, but that's where we found ourselves, and it was a challenge at half-time. Can you go out there? Can you get back into the game? Can you show a bit more energy, perhaps, than we did in the first half? And I thought from the minute the whistle went in the second half, we took the game to them. Thought we was on top, thought we was dominant in that second half. We got the goal that we deserved. Yeah, in the end, I'm thinking we might go on and win it. I think we was probably the team pushing for that. not to be, but like I say, Rotherham a good side. They'll be right at the top end of the league come the end of the season, and it's a good battling point.
Paul Warne was very complimentary of Charlton, said that he sees them as a top six side as well. Performance-wise, I guess we're starting to see that now from the Eddicks.
We are, yeah, we are. We're seeing a team out there that's giving everything for the badge. They're running, they're pressing, they're harrying, everything that I expect from our players, they're doing. And like we've said already in these interviews, that the quality's there. So if you do that, you're going to get results, you're going to pick points up, and you're going to climb the league quickly. Disappointed where we find ourselves in the league, but we have to start looking upwards and onwards and start putting runs together.
When it came to Rotherham's goal, there were some complaints from the Charlton players. We weren't really sure exactly what it was for. Do you know what they were upset with?
I think they felt the ball might have gone out when the cross came in, but I honestly don't know. I couldn't, obviously, from where I am, I can't see. Even I've watched the goal back. Can't tell from the camera angle. To be my focus is on the situation and can you defend it better? That's what I'm looking at. If it went out, you know, it's a bit unfortunate, but I want to see us defend that situation better.
And obviously, the referee was a big focal point this evening. There was one in particular point where Paul Warne had to make a decision for him a couple of minutes later, taking off their defender who easily could have gone.
I think that decision from Paul to take him off straight after probably tells you everything you need to know about that situation. I think the referee got that one wrong. Should be a second yellow card. They should be down to 10. But he didn't go with it. It wasn't to be. We carried on. We carried on pressing and harrying anyway and pushing for that goal. We got it. If they'd have had 10, would it have been different? Perhaps. Sometimes it can be more difficult playing against 10. So, you know, you like to think it would have changed the complexion, but you know, he didn't give it. My team stuck to their task and certainly got a deserved equaliser.
We come back again to that transformation. It's only 2 weeks tonight since that Accrington game, and it is such a different team. And if you think back at other games like the Bolton one where there's been capitulations, I mean, it shows you've certainly brought something different to them since you've come in.
Yeah, I think I have. The players have responded to everything that I've asked of them. We've certainly seen a renewed vigour. That's what I demand. That's how I was as a player. That's how I am as a coach, manager. And I won't accept anything less than that. As far as their endeavour and commitment to it, and commitment to, I don't just mean running, I mean to the things that I'm asking them to do. They've given me 100% commitment, and that's all you can ask. The minute that drops, that's my job then to make sure that we don't stand for that, because I think when it's like that, you can see we're a good team. We're a good team, and we can get better. There's loads to work on. There's more we can do, but we come off of that level, we become ordinary. So I can't allow that to happen.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Kirk again. To his left is Gunter. Gunter with the cross. It's a search across. Just that's a lovely header. It's Alain Giacini, a searching cross from Chris Gunter. Giacini beats McFadden to the ball against Charlton lead.
Yeah, and we talk about this week in, week out, about players anticipating coming in from the far side, getting inside the fullback, spotting that cross early, making the run, anticipate, get across your man and meet it well. I mean, it's a very brave header from Giacini.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live, the big match preview. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts caretaker boss, Johnny Jackson, after the draw with Rotherham. I mean, we're just going to say it every week until he gets a job, Nath, but it's remarkable the turnaround he's got, and he's absolutely acing the job interview process so far. It's an on-the-job job interview, basically, isn't it? And he's smashing it out of the park.
Yeah, 100% he is. I just mentioned it earlier in terms of the, you know, in terms of not only, it's like we could have got Crew, Donny, and I don't know, someone else who's down there. I ain't even looking at the bottom table anymore. So, Shrewsbury or something. And then, do you know what I mean? It would be like, yeah, but, you know, it might be a bit of a full storm sort of thing. But no, like Sunderland, banging form, not lost at home all season. Rotherham, smashing teams apart. High scorers, don't concede least amount of goals conceded. Donny, forget about him. But those two games, like, we've done, like, fully deserved everything we've got out of it. And it's just amazing what he's doing in such a short space of time. And he's obviously, whatever he is doing on the training field is working. And yeah, on the job interview, he's not doing himself any harm, is he? So it's got a little making Thomas's job a little bit easier, isn't it?
Well, you'd like to think so. You'd like to think so. I know Thomas's son now seems to be in the building and keeping a close eye on proceedings and hopefully reporting back to his father that he's got a good in there in Johnny Jackson. You can see the performances have just turned around completely. And like I say, we'll hear from Jason Pearce on that matter later on in the show. But let's hear from some of you guys as well. Reg sent a message in. What a difference with Johnny Jackson at the wheel. Same squad, but playing a completely different game with coherency and obvious commitment. Can't believe they weren't trying hitherto for Nigel. But the last three games have seen different levels across the board, including, and importantly, JJ's engagement with the crowd. Excited about what can be achieved. Yep, certainly so am I. And some other messages that came in as well. Jimmy said, the point against Rotherham was thoroughly deserved, if not all three, as a spectacular performance and established that we really do deserve to be up near the top of this the table this season. It's a shame the game was slightly overshadowed by some of the worst officials in the entirety of the EFL. And that's not an easy one to win that, but yeah, they were up there. Gary says, hi guys, a good second half because we played on the front foot. I think we sat back too much in the first half and tried to counter-attack. I'm still not sure about the keeper, a good shot stopper, but his distribution is rubbish. All the best. Yeah, what are we saying about Mac? He's had some really good moments this season. He has had a couple of bad ones as well. Distribution, have you picked up much on that, Tom?
I mean, how picky do people want to get? Dills used to get it every week, didn't he, about his distribution as well, and now he's played in the Championship, so, or not at the moment, he might have been dropped, but more generally. But I think, look, they're in there to make saves, and I think he's won us more points than he's lost us. Obviously, we'd like better distribution, and I know there's moments where he claims a ball from a corner, and you've got Lecco pinging forward one side, and whoever, Giacimi or Kirk or whatever. So I think there are opportunities to get the ball forward, and I know there's a couple of times where that's gone awry, but ultimately, as I just said, he's there to make saves, and some of the saves he's made have been absolutely world-class and saved us points. So, yeah, there's always room for improvement. You could say that about any player. You know, Connor Washington could have taken his chances, so his finishing maybe let him down, but he scored his one goal and got us a point. McGilvery maybe could have distributed the ball better, but made one save and probably saved us a point. So, yeah, I don't worry about it too much. I'm sure they work on it, but you know, it's not the bread and butter of what he does, so I'm not too concerned.
And we are in League One. We do have League One players who make League One errors, exactly. Unfortunately. That's the situation we find ourselves in. Right, Alan says, we were unlucky not to take 3 points against Rotherham. I know we are desperate for the points and had to settle for the one, but the performance was more important than taking the points for me, keeping the levels up like the last two games before that. Keep playing with that heart and fight, and we'll be able to beat anyone. Brocky says, a great effort from all the boys. Shame we didn't take all 3 points. However, I realised it's much easier to get my son out of bed to go to school when we don't lose. He was in such a good mood, singing Charlton songs whilst he got ready for school. Just got to keep it going now. Yeah, the club released that excellent video, didn't they, of the young fans and all the fans really in the stadium. And it just shows how, you know, everyone's really on side and backing Jacko. It makes such a difference for me to support the club when it's under someone like Jacko or Bo or Powerly, someone who you can really get behind, because you've got all that respect from before it, you know, they've even kicked off, and it just galvanises the support, and that definitely gets through to the team, and you've seen it with the performances as well. And that's what London Innit Geezer says. It says, when is Thomas The tea is going to put us out of our misery and confirm Jacko in the post. The weight is killing me. Yeah, I mean, I was asked this question on air the other day. I said, if it was up to me, it'd be right now. But obviously, I'm going with my heart rather than my head. Nathan, how long should this process take? I mean, apparently there was some, I haven't actually read it myself, but apparently there were some quotes from Thomas in The Sun saying something like he might, you know, even wait something like 60 days, getting to December to give Jacko that space. But at the same time, if Jacko's off to a flying start, he'll want the job confirmed as soon as possible to show that he's earned the trust of Thomas. And by Thomas giving Jacko that trust, I'm sure it'll sort of go both ways, and he'll certainly have the support of all the fan base.
Yeah, it's not a difficult one for us, I think. But for Thomas, he probably wants to give it a little bit more time. 60 days might be a bit, because maybe he said that at the beginning, thinking, well, we're in a bit of a bad run of form. He might not be able to turn it around straight away. I don't want to give him three games and we don't get a good result and then just get a new manager in. He might have just said, you know, give it 60 days or whatever, if that's what it was, to give him a bit more time. But obviously he started this well. So yeah, it might be that it is a bit sooner. I think maybe he was just doing it as well as giving Jacko trust. But if it doesn't click straight away, then at least Jacko don't feel the pressure that he's got to deliver results from day one. So, but yeah, I can't see it dragging on too long. I mean, yeah, for me, it's the performance. I think Alan and Brocky said in their emails in, it's about the performances, and the performances now to a few weeks ago is in chalk and cheese. And if those performances are there, we're gonna get more points out of a lot of games than we'll lose them if we keep that intensity up. So yeah, I can't see it unless something drastic happens and we have a couple of Huddersfields and sort of 5-0s or whatever. I can't see anything changing really. So I think Jacko's more or less got it sewn up, really.
Oh, I hope that is the case. Let's hope that Thomas is listening to the pod and he'll hear what we're saying. Right, some excellent news today. Thomas has done something really good today. He's got a pen to paper for Deji Elleroe. The 18-year-old has signed his first professional contract with the club. He's going to be with us on paper, at least until 2024. And Deji himself went to speak to Ollie Groom today to say how pleased he is to sign his first professional deal.
Yeah, it feels great, honestly. I love being at Charlton every minute of the day. Charlton's a great club, and I love to spend my time here.
It's been a whirlwind few months for you, hasn't it? Obviously, in the under-18 setup, you were heavily involved in the first team during pre-season, where you really caught the eye. Did you think you'd be at this position, at this stage, making your league debut, playing in a couple of cups in the first team? You must be so pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. Honestly, it's been surreal. I said it before my other interview that I didn't expect myself to be here. I thought maybe I'd be in around 23s in the first team, but now being here is very, very surreal.
There we go. Great to get that one over the line. And obviously for Deji, a big day for him. You know, there was reports linking in with West Ham. Obviously, you never know what's agent talk and what isn't, really, I guess, these days, Tom. But, you know, it did make a lot of us nervous. It was taking a while to get him sort of signed up. And to be honest, I'd given up on it, if I'm being totally honest. But, you know, great to see it's happened. And this is something that we've struggled with before, when a young talent emerges, which Deji has. And we have to be honest, like, I think he's only really emerged properly this summer. Like, in he was part of the under-18 side that got to the playoffs and the finals last year. But it's really this year that he's sort of exploded. And all of a sudden, when he probably wasn't on the radar straight away to get the professional deal, all of a sudden he's become hot property. So the fact that we've got that sorted, when I imagine other clubs would have been looking at him, I mean, would you describe that as a statement of intent about how we want to run the club going forward in terms of our young players that we've lost before?
I think, yeah, it sets a benchmark for other players now, because they'll be interested to see what happens next. Like you, obviously, I don't know enough about the West Ham interest in terms of how close anything might have been, but I'm pretty sure there would have been clubs certainly of championship level looking at him, because even in the brief time we've seen him, you know, he clearly is a talent, and teams are looking to snap players of that age and of that kind of contract status up as soon as they can. So, yeah, I think it is a marker. And as you say, under previous ownerships, that's the sort of player who we would have just lost. And as you said yourself, you'd kind of given up hope already, because we've had our fingers burnt plenty of times. So I'm very pleased. You know, even if he goes next summer already, then, you know, we're going to command a bit more of a fee for him. And you know, I don't like to think of football as a business, really, because that's not why we're in it. But ultimately, that's what it is. But, you know, if we do keep hold of him for a couple of seasons and, you know, he can make a difference here first and then go off, then obviously that would be fantastic. And, yeah, it might just be that he's got a good head on his shoulders, or he's got the right people around him, or it might be that we've convinced him. So whatever the reason, I think it's an excellent bit of business for us. It provides that extra level of support to the centre-backs, particularly whilst we've got Lavelle and Innes out at the moment. So, you know, I know Piercy and who's he had alongside him? I can't think now. Gunter's been playing in the centre and they've had that that defensive three. But we're going to want to be able to change it up a little bit more. So hopefully this will help with that. And now that contract's sorted, he can focus on his football and maybe Jacko will be a bit more confident to give him a game. I wonder if we'll see him even start at the weekend in the FA Cup, for example.
Yeah, I imagine we will. I mean, how much potential do you think he has, Nath? Are we talking Ezri, Konsa, Joe Gomez levels? Are we talking not quite that level? I mean, is it too early to say? What have you seen? What sort of from what you've seen so far, where do you think we are with Deji? Definitely better than Deji Oshalaja.
Yeah, I think that there's potential there. I think if people more qualified than myself in terms of Steve Avery and that, they wouldn't have offered him a deal. But in terms of the comparisons of Ez and Joe, I think Joe Gomez was a different gravy sort of player that sort of comes up once in a blue moon for me, just because his reading of the game, his physicality, and how good he was on the ball. Ezri was the same. Ezri was a little bit more like Deji than obviously Joe, just in terms of his build and his stature. Deji obviously is going to bulk up. He's still growing. He's still, you know, he's still maturing as a person and physically. So there's a lot of the experiences he's getting now. He's training regularly with the first team. He's getting game time here and there. It's going to stand him in good stead. But he's still building as a. He's going to get wider, not too wide, but he's going to put some muscle on, and he's going to be very physical. So I think there's a lot of potential there. It's just obviously like Tom said, but it's having the right people around him with his family, and he's at a good club. That will help him flourish. And I'm excited to obviously seeing him get more game time, because I think it will, especially with people like Piercy there. And even Akin, but so when you've got Piercy next year, you're going to learn loads. So exciting times, mate.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Reg sent in a message saying the news just keeps getting better today with Deji signing until 2024. Different gravy. What he will bring as he is integrated into the first team should further propel us forward. The Woolwich Van Dyke might have to buy the wife his and her season tickets for the second half of the season this Christmas. Yeah, that's a good idea, Reg. His and her season tickets, a wonderful invention. Right, I did promise we're going to hear from the skipper, Jason Pearce. He came in to speak to us after the draw with Rotherham, obviously back in the side since Sam Lavelle's been injured, but performed very well, I think it's fair to say. But I thought it'd be interesting, obviously, with Piercy as his role as one of the more senior members of the squad, obviously a captain of the side, someone who's played with Jacko and, done coaching stuff himself, Piercy, and that's something he'll want to go into as well. I thought it'd be really interesting to find out from him what he thinks that Jacko's brought to the training ground and what has brought around the change we've seen over the last couple of weeks.
I think there's question marks over the effort and stuff, but I think it was just he's given us that direction, which I think we needed. And it's the training's been really good. We've been working hard on in and out of possession stuff, opposed in training, and it's been great. And the boys have really taken to it, and I think everyone can see on the pitch that we look like a real team to get together. We're behind Jacko and we want to continue.
I mean, when you say he's brought a direction, was that something you felt was lacking beforehand? Because a lot of the fans are looking at these excellent performances we put on before and just can't really understand why they were so off it in a few weeks before that.
Yeah, I think there's a few things maybe that wasn't quite right. It just wasn't clicking. And the gaffer was here before was a great guy, and he's done really well, and just something just wasn't clicking, and obviously something had to change, and it did need a little bit of direction, I think. And Jacko's come in, he was obviously assistant manager under the gaffer, and he's given us that direction which we needed, and now we're moving forward. Obviously, I don't want to talk too much about the past, but you know, we're in a good place at the moment, and we want to continue that. And move up that league.
Do players get too involved in thinking who they want the next manager to be after what Jacko's achieved so far? Obviously, as fans, we're all quite, we'll be fans of his. But as a player, I mean, from what you've seen so far, I mean, I guess you'd be quite happy if he was to get the full-time job.
Yeah, no, I've obviously played with Jacko and played against him, and now he's my manager, and I've got total respect for Jacko, and he's come in, and I think he'll have a real big career in the game as a manager. I truly believe that, and he's come in, and the way he's been with everyone really has been really good, and I think, yeah, I hope he gets the job personally, because I think he'll be great for the club. He knows the club, so yeah, and obviously it's our performances on the pitch which will determine that, but it started well, and hopefully that will continue.
Fascinating. I thought that was fascinating from Jason Pearce. He spoke really candidly about, you know, he feels that Jacko's brought some direction, and, you know, admitted that was something that was lacking previously, you know, under Nigel. He didn't get too drawn into it when I sort of followed it up, but that is something that was said. You know, clearly something wasn't right, and clearly something had to change. And obviously, Pearce has then gone one step further and called for Jacko to be given the job. So let's talk about that thing first. Obviously, Pearce has played with Jacko, and you know, anyone who's known Jacko for a number of years will have a great deal of respect for him. But it's great that he wants him to get the job, because I think it just shows that he's got the squad on side. And if the performances hadn't already told you that, I guess, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you can see that in the performances already, but as you say, when your club captain is coming out and saying that, it's not something you'd necessarily hear too often. But that, and the comments about the previous manager, as you say, didn't get drawn on it too much, but still did. So I think Jacko has confidence in himself anyway. He doesn't need Piercy to come out and say that, but they clearly have a good relationship. And, you know, Piercy's got that coaching clause in his contract, hasn't he? And obviously Yule's in there as well. That, you know, Pearce is, you know, I don't think he's at the Jacko level yet. Whether he ever gets there, I'm not sure. But, you know, that's high praise to even be anywhere near that, given what Jackson's done for the side. I think Pearce is somebody that has a lot of respect around the club, and rightly so. And I think he displays similar sorts of characteristics to Jacko in the way he, you know, talks the young players or the new players around what it means to play for Charlton and all that kind of stuff. So there are a couple of players in there, and Yule, who I've mentioned as well, who I would love to see stick around the club for a while. You know, I'd love, when Piercy retires, to join that coaching staff as well, and for them to build a bit of a legacy here. And, you know, it's not unlikely to be like Kerbishley and be here for 15 years, because that doesn't really happen anymore. But there's nothing to say that they can't build something very, very special over a period of time. So, yeah, it was, as you said, fascinating to hear, because you don't very often hear someone come out and be so candid, particularly these days with all the media training they get. I thought it was an honest assessment, and I'm sure you're going to go on to ask Nath now about the Nigel Adkins comments, but I thought that was really interesting insight too, because as fans we all see it, but to hear a player say it, I think is very interesting and honest from Pearce. So yeah, interesting to hear for sure.
Yeah, well, Tom's done my job for me there, Nath, because he has predicted what I wanted to ask you about, obviously. I mean, he said that there was a bit of a lack of direction beforehand. I mean, that's quite startling, really, isn't it, considering, I mean, Nigel's been in the game for a long time.
Yeah, it was a bit of an eye-opener. But yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to... You know, Nigel, like you say, he's been in the game a long time. He's had these successes and these achievements, and you know, well played to him. But I think the comments for me, does it surprise me? Yes and no. I think because it's obviously what Piercy said, but no, because looking at how we were playing, it did look like we were playing with no invention. We didn't have a plan. We just looked lost. We weren't cohesive. And when I think about it now, it's starting to come together a bit, and it seems like it all makes sense now. Because if Pearce is saying that, you know, whatever he said, I'm looking at it going, well, it looked like you had no sort of direction or whatever. And I think looking at the results earlier in the season, you can tell that. And Jacko's come in, and obviously we do look like we sort of know what we're doing now. We play with a style. We're trying to impose ourselves on games, whereas before it was just one-dimensional. But you know, that's the way I see it, is that you can, when you try and piece it together now, you can certainly start to see it a little bit. I'm not saying that, you know, Nigel just comes in and has a hobnob and has a cup of tea and that's it. Well, he might have done. It's not my business, but, you know, it's a nice job to have. But yeah, it's definitely changed now, and the proof is in the pudding, and you can see that difference now.
Yeah, certainly. Hobnob, interesting choice of biscuit. We'll have to go further into what biscuits we think that Johnny Jackson has. But we ain't got time for that because it's time to get into Cup Fever. We'll worry about biscuits later. Right, Havant and Waterlooville come into the Valley on Saturday. Obviously, they beat Torquay after a replay in the last round. So really looking forward to this one. I have seen Havant play before in non-league circles down at Bromley, I think, a couple of times. But obviously, I guess the majority of us, and myself included, don't know a great deal about them. They sit 11th in the National League South, which is the division below the conference or the National League that you'll know is. You'll know, obviously, the National League is the one Bromley. I don't think Ebbsfleet are in, yeah, and Ebbsfleet are in the National League South because they're not as good as Bromley. But yeah, in case you're listening, Lockwood. But let's hear from Simon Carter from the Portsmouth News, who will tell us a bit more about Saturday's opponents and how excited they are to be coming to the Valley on Saturday.
They're phenomenally excited. I mean, I suppose a lot of Charlton fans, a lot of football fans nationally, will remember Havant from when they played at Liverpool in the FA Cups 2007-08. They went to Anfield in the fourth round, amazingly led 1-0, led 2-1. Club from the sixth division, winning at Anfield. That's the magic of the FA Cup for you. So, yeah, and this is probably, out since then, the biggest game they've had, without a shadow of a doubt. I think Charlton are only the seventh top kind of Premier League or EFL side Havant have played in their 23 years since they were formed. So no, they're really looking forward to it. I think there's 800 fans coming up, which is, for Havant, an incredible support.
Yeah, I mean, on our pod, we'll try and argue this is an even bigger game than going to Anfield, but I think that might fall on deaf ears. But yeah.
I don't think you've got 6,000 Havant fans coming to this game.
No, sadly not. So, I mean, what sort of form are Havant coming to the Valley in?
It's been an up and down season, really. I mean, as you possibly would have imagined, bearing in mind it's a totally new squad. And to give you an example of that, when Havant played at Marine in the second round of the FA Cup last November, again, he obviously lost 1-0 in the last minute of extra time and then like missed out on Spurs at home. Of that 18-man squad at Marine, only one, Sam Magri, will actually be in the squad on Saturday. Three others are either injured or suspended. Ross Warner, who's the number one keeper, he was Paul Doswell's goalkeeper at Sutton, when obviously Sutton had that great FA Cup run a few years ago, beat Leeds, lost to Arsenal live on BBC. He's injured. He got injured in the first half of the FA Cup fourth qualifying round tie at Torquay. He's a big loss. Tommy Wright, who's Doswell had at Sutton, one of the main strikers, he's suspended for a red card against Slough a couple of weeks ago. This is his second of a three-game ban. And Billy Clifford, who's ex-Chelsea, he's ex-Wheelstone midfielder, he's suspended, one match ban for two bookings, for five bookings this season. So Warner, Wright and Clifford, that's three big losses, in fairness, big losses. It's been an up and down season in the league. I mean, they'd obviously disappointed. They obviously, the playoffs is the absolute minimum for a club like Havant. They've got one of the better budgets in the league. They certainly haven't got the best, but they got one of the top five, top six. They train three times a week. They're not totally full-time, but they're more full-time than a lot of clubs at that level.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. And I personally enjoy watching a lot of non-league football, but I guess a lot of Charlton fans won't, so they might struggle to comprehend what sort of level of football the National League South is. But I guess the majority of the players will have sort of second jobs. It is the bin men and the accountants who will be facing.
To be honest, probably not. I mean, I think some of the players do kind of like coaching roles, but it's not the sort of candlestick maker, bin man that you had at Marine last season. For example, Joe Osler, who's Havant's captain, ex-Torquay, very experienced guy. He's got his own kind of coaching company, so he'll spend the time coaching when he's not training. Jake McCarthy, who's their kind of informed goal-scoring midfielder, 9 goals in the last 10 games, hat-trick at Chelmsford. He does some coaching in his, quote, spare time. It's not sort of the archetypal FA Cup romance story of the bin men, the bakers, the butchers, that sort of thing. These are kind of virtually full-time. Their Havant wages would probably be their main wages. They might have a secondary role, possibly mostly in kind of coaching or some sport-related role, but the Havant wages would be their main wages.
Mm. And tell us about the FA Cup run so far. Obviously, they overcame Torquay after a replay in the last round, so that was a bit of an upset.
Yeah, they've had three games. They did the second qualifier round. They were drawn away to Beaconsfield, who were division lower. That's the Southern League Premier South side, the same level as kind of Harrow Borough, who obviously got Pompey this weekend. That was drawn. They were drawn away, but the game was switched to Havant. They won 5-3. They were 5-1 up with a couple of minutes to go. Conceded two sloppy goals. Then they played Billerica at home, who again are another National League South side like Havant. Billerica at the time were bottom of the league. Havant again 3-0 up, absolutely coasting. Conceded two late goals, hung on, 3-2 win. Then they were drawn away at Torquay, which was among as tougher games as you could have got in the fourth qualifying round, bearing in mind it's still a regionalised draw. And they went down to Torquay. I saw the game, first half fairly even, both teams kind of trying to find each other out. Torquay slightly the better side. Second half, Havant were great. Havant were really good in the second half. Went twice, fell behind. Second time, conceded in the 86th minute. You think, OK, that's it, they're going out. James Roberts cracked in a glorious 90th minute leveller, well, 94th minute leveller, really, from outside the box. And then fairness, the replay at Westley Park. The weather was absolutely appalling. Torrential rain. Havant got 4G pitch. They just outplayed Torquay. It's actually amazing to see. They played some good football. I mean, Havant's weakness this season is keeping clean sheets. I think they haven't kept any since the opening day of the season when they beat Welling 3-0. But going forward, they're always likely to score goals.
Mm. So coming ahead to Saturday, who are like the key men, Havant's sort of best most influential players that the Charlton fans should be wary of?
Jake McCarthy. He's got 9 goals in the last 10 games. He's a central midfielder. He was signed as virtually as a holding midfielder who can play centre half. He was at AFC Bournemouth for many years. Didn't play in the first team, but he was at Bournemouth from like ages of 12 to 22. He helped Weymouth. He was playing for Weymouth in the National League last season. Turned down a new contract, dropped back down a level. Signed for Hawks. He's the informed player, the main goal scorer. I would have said Tommy Wright, but he's out suspended. So up front, you're going to have James Roberts, who's ex-Oxford United, ex-Oxford City, scored the cracking equaliser at Torquay. He would probably be up front with Scott Rendell, who's Charlton fans have probably known from, he's been around a few years. I think he's 35 now, coming up 36 soon. He's had a myriad of clubs down the years, Luton, Torquay, Woking, I think he's played for Aldershot, Eastleigh, Maidstone. This is his first season at Havant. But again, with Alex Wall, who's another striker, who's out injured, Rendell and Roberts are virtually the only two strikers they've got. So they'll certainly start at the Valley. McCarthy's the one to look out for. They always play, or they don't always play, but they generally like to play a 3-5-2. So you'd have Josh Pasley as the right wing back and probably Joe Newton as the left wing back. And they like to kind of bomb those lads forward at every opportunity.
Thanks to Simon for giving us the lowdown on Havant. A massive potential banana skin, as always, Tom, with the FA Cup. And but aside, it sounds like they're going to be missing a couple of key players.
Yeah, I always feel like the FA Cup is where you get the most football cliches. And you're totally right. It's the sort of game that you always worry a little bit about. As Jacko said, though, he expects to win it. And I'm sure he's going to change players for it, obviously, because, you know, we've got a lot of players that want to play, and he's played quite a balanced squad for the last three games. So it is a chance to rest players. We should still win the game, ultimately. As you said, they're down at two or three divisions below us. So, it's a difficult one for me. I love the FA Cup. I'd like us to get to that third round and draw somebody. You know, even that Fulham away day a few seasons ago, I still look back on that with fondness, even though we got hammered on the day, the atmosphere itself and just the day out was amazing. So that's really where you're aiming to get these first two rounds. It's just about getting through them. But, you know, there's always that chance of getting a big tie. So, yeah, it's not going to be an easy game. We can't take it for granted, all those cliches, but we should be beating them. That's what it comes down to, whoever we pick on Saturday.
Mm. Well, let's hear from Johnny Jackson ahead of the game. He was asked by Terry during press day today if the FA Cup is a competition that means a lot to him.
I love the FA Cup. It's a game that I want to win. It's a game that I expect to win. Got some good and bad memories of the FA Cup. Still one of the biggest regrets of my career, not progressing to the semi-final with Charlton. So Yeah, long been an admirer of the Cup. It's a good opportunity, obviously, to utilise your squad. I've got a lot of players there chomping at the bit for a game, and people that are, you know, want to show me that they should be playing. So there's an opportunity to do that. But I mean, regardless of whatever team I put out there, I expect the same. Well, I'll demand the same things that I have been of the lads that have played so far in the league. Can't come off of those, you know, those principles that we put in place. And whatever team I put out there should be good enough to win the game, and I expect that.
Well, it's one of the questions that I was going to ask you about, because obviously looking on paper, it's a giant killing possibility for the likes of Everton and Waterloo, and that's what the FA Cup is famous for, so that's something that you've also got to try and guard against.
Of course, and we'll respect the opposition like we always do. We'll do our homework on them. We'll approach it like every other game that we do. But, you know, we'll show the lads the ways that they can maybe try and hurt us. And we'll show them the ways that we can hurt them. And I always feel that whoever we're playing, that we'll cause them problems. And that has to be our focus, obviously. But it's important that we approach the game with the right mentality, like we have been. Don't come off of that. And if we're like that, we'll win the game. But, you know, I said to the lads, you know, you have to approach it in that same way. Don't become a story on Sunday morning.
Good to hear from Jacko as always. Obviously, you know, there will be changes, Nathan. But you know, as we heard from Simon, they're apparently not quite as excited to come to the Valley as they were to go to Anfield for whatever reason. I can't get my head around that. But you know, they will still be excited to come to the Valley. I think, you know, I mean, Paul Warne said it on Tuesday. He wished they played us 2 weeks ago, Rotherham. But I imagine it'd be the same for Havant. Like if they came to us. You know, when we were putting in these displays we've seen under Adkins, obviously we'd still be favourites, but I would have given them a lot more of a chance than I will give them on Saturday. But we can't get complacent, because we've seen it before with Northwich Victoria. We can get caught out of this level and be embarrassed.
Yeah, we can do. If we do become complacent. And, you know, I was looking at their squad, and I don't know who's missing or whatever. They got that James Hayter. Do you remember him? Doncaster, James Hayter.
Yeah, they got some reasonable names. Yeah, Ravel was the one that stood out for me.
Yeah, you got Ravel. You got the ex Palace player Lee Bradbury as manager or joint manager or whatever.
Paul Doswell's the manager.
Oh, is it? Lee Bradbury still there? I know he was there at one point, but yeah. Well, I don't really follow him that much, to be honest. But yeah, no, we've got to keep our wits about us because I don't want that. What was that game? Was it Northwich?
Yeah.
Victoria, did we lose to them?
Yeah.
Or did we draw with them?
That was on TV. We lost 1-0. And I'd invited all my mates around to watch it as well. Didn't do us any favours that day.
But yeah, we're just going to need to keep our wits about us. It's the intensity. I think if we step off the intensity and it becomes, you know, a battle. Because they're going to come here and give everything. It's a big game for them. They're not going to play in this sort of stadium every week. Yeah. So they're going to step their levels up.
Lee Bradbury left Havant and Waterlooville in 2019.
Oh, there you go. Shows my knowledge of Havant and Waterlooville.
Let's hope Jacko's done more research than you have.
That's what I mean. I remember, is that when they were at Anfield? When did they go to Liverpool?
In about 2008, that was.
Oh, yeah, my knowledge of of Havant isn't the greatest. But yeah.
But I mean, yeah. Paul Doswell as the manager obviously has that cup run on at Sutton under his belt as well. So he'll know all about this, Tom. And it is just a case of whatever side we put out. And I mean, being wary. I mean, talk about the side. Obviously, we reckon Dej will be out there. I mean, you'd think this will be a chance for like reasonably first team players like Kirk, Morgan to get games. You know, Davison. You'd expect some names in there that could start in League One if necessary.
Yeah, exactly. And Henderson maybe will get given a run out in goal. Blackett Taylor probably, as you say, Davison, Ben Watson. We've probably got, you know, I haven't written it down, but we've probably got close to 22 players that potentially could be first teamers. So, you know, I don't think he's going to change all 11. And obviously we've got a few injuries at the moment, but he can definitely switch things around and give things a go. You know, Papa Soare hasn't really impressed. I don't know if he'd be fit, but he'd be someone that could maybe have another chance to have a go. And we've got the Orient game coming up as well, haven't we, where maybe they can have a run out then as well. So, yeah, I think there's a chance for a few players to play themselves into form. I think there's a few players who might feel a bit unfortunate to miss out, who give Jacko something to query ahead of the next week's game. So, yeah, I think there'll be a lot of changes. But as I say, ultimately, the players that we pick should still be good enough to go out there and do a job, because they're League One players as opposed to National League South. So, yeah, as I said earlier, it's a game that we should win. It's a game that we, I think, expect to win. But at the same time, we have to pay them respect and just go about and do a professional job against them.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's hope that we do. We'll be back on Sunday, of course, to discuss whether we have or not. But that is the end of this week's Big Match Preview. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in. Hope you've enjoyed the show. And thanks to those who've sent messages in as well. Thank you to Tom and to Nath for joining me this week.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to you both. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Havant and Waterlooville. We'll see you then.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.